This Sunday, we are moving back into our sermon series on the book of Acts, which means that my temporary gift to my confirmation students has expired, and that they are now again going to be reading Scripture. So with that said, I'd like to invite Emma to come forward, and she's going to be reading Acts chapter 20, 17 through 38. And also a reminder that just to be praying for these young people as they do this, it's not an easy task. So support them, encourage them, and pray for them.
From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jews' opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly that and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have not about preaching the kingdom will never see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own word, number of men will arrive and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after him. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sacrificed. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. And in everything I did, I showed you that by this time of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship.
So I know that my confirmation students think that I am mean for making them, but I greatly enjoy having them read Scripture. I think it's one of my favorite things that happens in our church service. which is saying a lot because we have some really good things that happen here at Grace. So we are picking up here in Acts chapter 20. We're picking up with the Apostle Paul. He is on a ship headed to Jerusalem. It has been a long time since Paul has been in Jerusalem, decades even. And so he is on his way, and ships would travel, and they would make stops along the way. And we find him here on a two-day stop in Miletus, which was really close to Ephesians. So Paul sends word to the leaders in Ephesians, these people that he had spent so much time with, and he says that he wants to speak with them. Before we dive into what he has to say to them, let's take a moment just to pray. Heavenly Father, we just we thank you. We thank you for being the good and the gracious God that you are. We pray that as we continue to dive into your word, that you would make it real in our lives, that you would help us to see the value in it, that you would help us to see the application, that you would help us to live it as if it is true. We pray that your Holy Spirit would dwell within us in such ways that your word would become permanent inside of us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So what is conveyed here in Acts chapter 20, verses 18 or 17 through 38 can really be categorized into two separate categories. The first is Paul's description of the way that he does ministry or his approach to ministry. The second category is the advice that he gives to these Ephesian leaders. We're going to talk first about Paul's approach to ministry. And to summarize it in one word, that one word would be commitment. Paul's commitment in ministry. And we'll look at four ways that Paul was committed in ministry. The first is that Paul was committed to God and his people. Paul was committed to his fellow believers, and he was always determined to seek their interests first. He says, so be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. He is concerned for these people that he is ministering to, and so much so that it causes great emotion within him, that he's led to tears. He identified with the people that he was ministering to so much that it hurt. He wasn't just present, but he was committed. And it was a type of commitment that was driven by the fact that he believed that if he was, as he was serving people, that he was serving God. That as he desired to serve the Lord, the practical application of doing that was to serve the people around him. And so his commitment to God was demonstrated by his commitment to the people. The way that he cared for them, the way that he loved them, the way that he placed their needs above his own. The second type of commitment was his commitment to sharing God's word. In verses 20 and 21, he says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from the house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." Paul preached the word of the Lord. He knew it well. Really, if you want to preach the word of the Lord, if you want to share it with people, you have to know it. In order to share something, you have to have it. And if you don't have it, then you can't share it. Here's the thing. All throughout Scripture, God tells story after story, all throughout Scripture, of how God multiplies small things into great things. And so this is the reassurance that I want to give you, is that you don't have to know great amounts of Scripture to share it. God multiplies. So take whatever you know from Scripture, and like Miss Vicky was saying, be excited to share it. You know, one of the exciting things about, you know, like the package of Oreos that she had is that there's more than one in the package, and that you can always go and buy more. And the same thing is true with Scripture. It's like there is always more. But just because I don't have all of the packages doesn't mean that I'm not going to share what I have in this package. Of course I will share with you. So Paul was committed to the Word. And he was committed in such a way that he didn't sugarcoat the gospel or, you know, give, you know, some easy-to-accept gospel message. What he was communicating to people was that it was this whole lifestyle change, that everything about them, their hearts were going to need to change, that they would need to repent. Paul didn't hold back. He didn't just give the nice parts of Scripture. He gave the difficult, the challenging, the life-changing ones. Even at the risk of his own life, Paul was committed to delivering the full counsel of God. Paul, thirdly, his commitment went beyond his own self-interest. Paul spoke about going to Jerusalem, and he said, you know, everywhere that I've gone, the Holy Spirit has warned me that I might be killed if I go to that city. But I have gone anyways. Paul was so compelled to go to Jerusalem. He's here saying goodbye to the Ephesians leaders, saying, I'm not going to see you again. I'm not coming back. It's likely that I might die if I go to Jerusalem, but I'm going to go anyways. I'm going to go because I am so committed in my relationship with God that I'm willing to set aside my own self-interest for His. He was more compelled by his relationship with Jesus than his relationship with himself. We likewise should be so determined to finish the course that we are willing to risk, no matter the cost, we finish what's been placed before us. Finally, Paul had this type of commitment that produced a sense of clear conscience. Really what Paul is communicating to the people in verse 26 and 27, he says, "Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." What he's saying is, I've done everything I can within my power to communicate to you what Scripture says. And so if you've chosen not to believe, or if you've believed and then fall away, that's not on me. I've done everything that I can to lead you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. You know, Paul, one of the greatest missionaries of all time, he's saying, this is what I do. I'm committed to God and His people. I'm committed in such a way that I will love the people of God because I love God. That I'm committed to sharing God's word at whatever cost. That I'm more concerned with the mission of God than myself. And I am so committed that I am free of any guilt because I know that I have done everything that is within my power to bring the gospel to the people in front of me. What a challenge. And that's what we're called to, the type of ministry that we're called to. You know, Paul says, he's not just sharing this, you know, to be bragging or to be self-righteous. He's not sharing this with the people so they can say, oh, look at how great Paul is. Now, Paul is saying, you know, these are the things that I have found that has led me to be successful, to bring people to Christ, is this level of commitment. And so we would be wise to follow in his footsteps. But as Paul is giving this example of his commitment to sharing the gospel, he gives these people a word of advice. And that's primarily to be vigilant in ministry, or to be watchful, or on the watch for. To be on the watch for three things. Three things that as we minister, as we're committed to ministering to the ministry of Jesus Christ, three things that we need to be on the watch for. Number one, to be on guard for the perils within our own hearts. You know, it is often tempting as Christians to think that we have overcome sin or temptation in our lives. Or to think, you know, I have, you know, somehow graduated beyond those temptations. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But the reality is that the devil never stops working. And that really, we're all too familiar with those temptations to forget about them. And so we have to be on guard that previous sin doesn't rise up within, or really even new sins. You know, we don't, as long as we are on planet Earth, we will deal with the sickness of sin. You know, as we draw closer to Christ, that sickness begins to fall away. But it isn't until we reach glory that we'll be free completely from that sin. And so be on guard. Be on guard from perils from the outside, from the world. That all around us are people and systems and, you know, heretics, cults, all kinds of things that are going to lead us astray. Other, you know, it's Satan loves to attack healthy churches. He doesn't care so much about the weakened or the obsolete ones because he's kind of already winning. But it's the healthy churches that get attacked. You know, and as I speak about Grace to people, as people ask me, you know, how things are going at Grace, or I describe Grace as being a pretty healthy church. We're growing. We're full of people who are committed in their faith, people who lead. People who lead from their faith. We are full of people who are generous, people who are loving. We don't have major conflicts within our church. We are, I think, a pretty healthy church. And if that is true, then friends, we need to be watching. We need to be vigilant. And then lastly, Paul warns the Ephesians to be on guard for perils within the flock, or from within the church. You know, and we're not really, what we're looking for is not someone who is, you know, this evil person rising up within the church and trying to lead us all astray or something like that. But what it's referring to, you know, is that conflict that arises within a church. Sometimes, you know, it's seemingly simple things. You know, I shared, about reasons why churches throughout history have split. You know, silly things like the color of carpet or the type of coffee that they have, which sparks these larger arguments. Satan loves to grab a hold of those small little disagreements inside of a church and to somehow amplify them into such a point where you can't stand being next to one another anymore. So we need to be on guard for those things to happen. And when conflict arises, that we handle it. And that we handle it in a Christian manner. We handle it in a loving manner. And we recognize, you know, what is important here. You know, is the color of carpet or the ministry of Jesus Christ more important? Or, you know, is the type of coffee or the ministry of Christ more important? And those are generalized examples. Those have not been conflicts within Grace, carpet color and coffee, but they are examples. You know, really, actually, you know, I just want to say this, is that our church has had the opportunity to have this type of conflict emerge. You know, throughout COVID, we had the opportunity to have lots of conflict arise. You know, we've put some new carpet in. There's been Sundays where I've forgotten to buy coffee. So we've had all kinds of opportunity for conflict to arise, and I think that our church has done wonderfully in the midst of that. But, it goes back to that we can't think that we are immune from it. That just because we've done a good job so far doesn't mean that we're immune. It doesn't mean that Satan isn't still silently working and twisting and probing. So we have to be careful and to be on our guard. In addition to being people who are vigilant in ministry, Paul advised the Ephesian leaders to live their lives by the grace of God. In verse 32, he says, "Now I commit you to God and to the world of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So we talk about this idea of being vigilant in ministry, and it can cause maybe some anxiety. You know, I mean, essentially, it's, you know, if healthy churches are attacked, you know, we can spend our time waiting to be attacked, or we can trust ourselves to the grace of God and live in that grace. Because here's the thing. Jesus has already defeated the devil. He's already won. And as long as we're staying close to Jesus and placing our trust in him and following in the footsteps that he has placed before us, we're good to go. Jesus doesn't fail. It's in those moments where we stray off of the path or stray far from the course that we become vulnerable. And so we live our lives in the grace of God. And Paul's final word of advice is this attitude of giving. He says it is more blessed to give than receive. And when we think of, when we hear those words, our immediate response is financial. And that's included, yes. I mean, of course, It's included. But that's not all that Paul is talking about here. You know, and it goes back to what he was talking about, serving other people above your own self-interest, that you give of yourself, not just your money, but all that you are, all that you have, you give. And you give without the expectation of receiving. That it's not a transactional relationship, that you don't expect a return on your investment. That you invest because God asks you to, and your inheritance is eternal. And so you give. Friends, the book of Acts should challenge us. It should challenge us as a church, as individuals. You know, becoming a Christian is a relatively easy thing. We say yes. We follow. But being a Christian is challenging. It's hard. And it requires the type of commitment that Paul is talking about. It's not the dip your toe in the water commitment. It's not even, you know, easing yourself in slowly to get used to the water. What Paul is talking about here is running and jumping and doing a cannonball or a dive into ministry, even before you know how to swim, and trusting that God has things under control. That's the kind of commitment that Paul is talking about. He's saying, get in there now. Stop worrying about what's going to happen to you. Get in there. You know, be on guard, but start moving. Start talking. Start doing. Follow. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the way that you move and work in our lives. And Heavenly Father, I thank you that when things aren't easy, that you're there to lift us up. I pray that you would continue to do that, that you would continue to move and work in our lives in such a way that we cannot deny that you are present, that you are moving, that you are working. We pray to see you more and more. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.